For as long as people have hidden treasures, we have had treasure hunters. The pharaohs of Egypt buried treasures in the depths of tombs, and many people for centuries have sought to find them. As the Spaniards and others hauled gold out of the Americas, many ships went down in the ocean, and today treasure hunters continue to try and find these sunken vessels. Sometimes treasures can be found in some unexpected places. During the Great Depression, many people didn't trust banks and would often hide or bury their money and valuables in their yards and even at times in the walls of their houses. These forgotten items occasionally show up unexpectedly many years later. A couple bought a home in Arizona. They found a safe code hidden in the medicine cabinet. And years later, during a kitchen remodel, they found a safe and opened it to find over $50,000 in cash and a bottle of bourbon. A general contractor in Minnesota found a rare first edition Batman comic book in the walls of a home that sold at auction for a reported $175,000. ABC reported in 2014 that a California couple spotted the edge of an old can on a path they had hiked many times before. Poking out of the can at the first step, you know, just sticking out of the ground, they discovered seven more cans. And the cans contained rare gold coins from the 1800s with an estimated worth of $10 million. Wow. What a find, huh? Almost makes some of you want to run home and just start tearing out the walls and digging up walkways, right? Chuck will be happy to have you pay him to put them all back, though, won't you, Chuck? But as appealing as finding $10 million sounds, we each have an opportunity for a much greater treasure. And that is the kingdom of heaven. And from our parables today, we first read from Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. The treasure in the field was worth more than all the man had. He was willing to sell everything he had in order to buy that field and get the treasure. Can you imagine discovering something that was so precious that you would be willing to sell everything you have? Think about it. Imagine finding those cans of gold coins on an old abandoned farm. And what if you had to sell your house and your cars to buy that property? Wouldn't you give $500,000 knowing that you were going to get that $10 million in return? Wouldn't that be worth it? And again, Jesus says in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The one pearl, that treasure to him was great, and he too was willing to sell everything he had in order to get the most valuable treasure. And here we see two parables, both referring to the kingdom of heaven as a great treasure. A great treasure worth selling everything out in order to get it. And the question of the day to you is this. What value do you put on the kingdom of heaven? Have you really put much thought into that? What value do you put on the kingdom of heaven? We're talking about eternal life. We are talking about spending an eternity with God in heaven. Or we're talking about spending a life in a much more place, a much worse place. And Jesus continues with one more parable. From Matthew 13, it continues, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad fish away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is saying we can have the treasure of heaven, or we can be thrown into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, it's not often that we hear anybody preach the good old hell, fire, and brimstone sermon, is it? And maybe it's time we started. Because quite frankly, the church as a whole has gotten too soft. Too many of us go around half-hearted in our Christian walk thinking we have done enough. I mean, after all, it's a free gift of salvation. All I have to do is accept that gift and just kind of cruise through life. And yes, while it is a free gift, we don't deserve God's amazing grace. We can't earn our way into heaven. The gift of heaven, the treasure of heaven, does not require anything but one thing. The only thing the treasure of heaven requires is for us to be sold out, to give everything we have for the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus in these parables shows us two people, both seeking the treasure and both willing to sell everything and be committed to taking the treasure. And the question is, are you sold out for the treasure, the kingdom of heaven? Because that is what we are called to be. We are called to be sold out. When Jesus asked what the greatest commandments were, Jesus quoted scripture and he said in Matthew 22, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus was quoting the same scripture of Deuteronomy that Carla read earlier. Jesus said the greatest thing you can do is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Is this you? Does this represent you? Because Jesus spoke several times about the cost of discipleship. If we're really his believers, this is what he says in Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus is saying if we are not sold out to God first, God above everything, God above our family, before our own selves, if we are not willing to pay the price, then we are not truly his disciples. And if we are not truly his disciples, then which basket are you going to be thrown into when it comes to the final judgment? Are you going to be in the good fish pile? Or are you going to be in the pile of fish that is thrown out? Matthew chapter 7 gives us this reality. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, judgment is coming to each and every one of us. Christianity is not a game. Christianity is not something that we can do part-time. It isn't like a game of poker. In a game of poker, you can choose how much you want to put into the pot. You can join in by throwing in the minimum. And if you like your hand, you can raise the amount of the pot. And if you're feeling really good about your hand, then you can go all in. But life as a Christian is not supposed to be like that. We don't get to choose how much we put in. You see, living for Jesus is an all-in affair. No matter the hand that life has dealt us, we have to be all in every time. But guess what? When we're all in, we all get to share the big pot. And when judgment day comes, are we going to stand before Jesus and said, I went and worshiped you sometimes. I told people about you occasionally. I gave some offering, God. You know, once in a while, God, I do turn on a Christian radio station and listen to music. Oh, God, I got up for Sunday school once. That was really good. It was a good Sunday. Or are we going to stand before Jesus and say, Lord, I wasn't perfect, but I gave it my all. There is but one way to heaven, and Scripture tells us that way is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, believe in me. And no matter what you have done in life, you can be forgiven. Because his grace is free and salvation is ours for the taking. But this gift, this treasure is worth selling out for. The treasure is worth giving God our all, because the alternative, as the Scripture says, the eternal fire is waiting for us. And a lot of people don't like hearing these kinds of sermons. But like it or not, the truth is simple. I don't know your hearts. I can't read your minds. And I can't touch your souls. But I do know what James said. James 2, starting in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That right there is my absolute favorite verse in the Bible, and I know I'm not the only one. And if you don't believe me that that's my favorite verse, this was my softball bat back before I pulled all my hamstrings and can't play anymore, but James 2:18. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And he continues on in verse 19. You believe that there is one God? You do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? See, if you are truly in this, if you are loving God with all, loving others with all, then by gosh, your life will show it. Because your faith is either alive or dead. There is no in between. Ask yourself, how much are you giving God? Are you giving him just an hour a week? Maybe two? How much are you giving back to God in your offerings? Just a couple bucks that you have on you? Or are you really giving to God the way God has called you to give? Is God first in your life? Are you reading his Bible? Are you living out his truth? Are you sharing this good news of this treasure with other people? See, a lot of us just want to dip our toes in the water. Oh, that water feels good, but I'm not jumping in. And some people have said, okay, I'll wade in ankle deep, but I'm not going all in. But you see, today's scripture says that's not going to cut it. The scripture today says that will get you tossed into the wrong place. See, you got to go all in. You got to swim to the deep end, my friends. You've got to see growth in your life. And if you want to see growth in your life, sell out to God. You want to see growth in this congregation? Sell out to God. You want to see a revival and a turnaround into this country? Sell out to God. In order to have faith, you have to give up being number one. God has to be number one. You might say that Jesus has to be your all in all. For some of you today is just another day that you're watching the clock. Is he done talking yet? But for some of you, I pray that you hear and feel that the Holy Spirit working on you. Some of you are fighting it because you don't like this message. Some of you are fighting it hard. And some of you are saying, I can't believe a loving God would do that. But I'm here to give you the message and the true word of God. And it's time for us to let go. It's time for us to start going all in. To say, God, you have all of my heart. Lead me and guide me where you want me to be. And you see, this is not a journey that we go on alone. This is a journey for all of us to go on together. This is what church is supposed to be. Church is not about showing up at a certain time and singing certain songs and putting money in the plate and going home. Church is a group of believers who bond together, who love each other, who encourage each other and help each other. Because swimming in the deep end is hard. And sometimes you need somebody to hold on to. And that's what the church is for. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to let you drown in the deep end. And I, as your pastor, am here for you. And if you feel that the Holy Spirit is tugging on you and you don't know what to do, you need to reach out to me. I am here for you anytime you need me. I am a 24/7 pastor. If you need me 24/7, I am here for you. This is not something for you to delay on. This is not something for you to ignore. Because if there's anything that life tells us, is that life is short. And we never have as much time as we think. We have a limited time to live, to love, to laugh. But more importantly, we have a limited time to know God, to live for God, and to lead other people to God. Are you willing to be all in? Whoever has ears, let us pray. Gracious Lord, sometimes your word is hard. Sometimes it is direct, and sometimes it's disturbing. But Lord, this is a treasure I want no one to miss out on. Lord, this is a treasure I want people to have a yearning for. This is a treasure I want people to have a faith in their heart to know that they have claimed it. And although we may not be perfect, Lord, allow us to be earnest in our efforts to pursue you. Let us be just 100% dedicated to returning your love that you gave to us, this great promise of eternal life, of living with you in glory. And Lord, if there's anyone here who just doesn't get it, but they know there's something they need to get, allow them to have the courage to reach out to someone. Allow them to seek you and seek help. Allow us to find a way to lead them on a path of faith that directs them to you so that they too can share in these promises. Lord, we pray that no one will ever be denied your entry. But Lord, you have told us we must have faith through Jesus Christ. We must be willing to give up ourselves fully and surrender to you. And Lord, that is my prayer, that today people give their heart to you, that they live their life full of faith, and that we see their faith lived out in their life. Lord, let us just continue to grow together as your people. Let us continue to get stronger and more like you each day. All of this we ask and pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Part of the great gift of salvation, part of the great gift of becoming a child of God, is not only having the love of the Father, but having the love of each other. And now I know, Jake, you did not want to be pointed out today. Point your fingers at me. That's okay. But the Scripture calls us to gather together, to lay on hands, and pray for each other. So if you are close to Jake, I want you to put your hands on him. And if you're not close to Jake, I want you to hold your hands right over here in Jake's direction. And we're going to close in prayer together and share our love for Jake and the inspiration of faith that he has been to so many. I cannot tell you the number of people who have been touched by Jake. And we are going to love him for every day that he is with us. And we are going to continue to love him until we meet again on the other side. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have brought us together to honor you and worship you today. But Lord, in honoring you, we honor your faithful servant, Jake. We are grateful for the love that he has brought to this church. We are grateful for his wisdom. We are grateful for his faithfulness. We are grateful for the times that he has spent with the youth. We are grateful for the times that he has supported so much of this church in so many ways. And Lord, I am grateful for what Jake has meant to me as the pastor of this church. And Lord, we just ask you to pour out your blessing on Jake. Fill his heart with the great love and joy every day. And allow him to see the great light and the great joy that awaits. And Lord, we look forward to the day that that treasure is redeemed, but not yet. Allow us to enjoy and love each and every day that we have with each other. Allow us to follow the example of faith that is fully lived out, and love and support one another, and continue to grow closer to you. Lord, let us go forward from here in full faith, and knowledge that your Son, Jesus Christ, came to redeem this world, to give all of us the hope of that treasure, to give all of us eternal life. May each of us acknowledge the Holy Spirit, accept that faith, and begin our journey of being all in. Let us go and be your people. Let us live by our faith. Let us go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.